Stories Bigger Than Texas, the Alamo Podcast. The Alamo is a world-famous battle site, a community gathering space. It's also home to Bella the Alamo Cat. She's the latest in a line of Alamo Cats who patrol the complex, defending the Alamo from pesky rodents and greeting visitors. Today, we reveal the lighter side of working at the Alamo to show you how this furry feline became the animal ambassador for history lovers around the world. I'm your host, Emily Baucom. We're joined by Ernesto Rodriguez, the Alamo's senior curator, historian, and lecturer, and Sherry Driscoll, the Alamo's former senior director of interpretation, volunteers, and living history. Hello.
Good morning.
And you can't see her, but Bella is in the room with us as we record this episode, isn't she, Ernesto?
Yes, she is.
Ernesto with the sound effects. When I started working at the Alamo about a year ago, the first question I got from so many people was not, do you like it? Or the people nice? It was, have you met the cat yet? You two have known her whole life. How did she come to live at the Alamo?
It's a fascinating story. You know, there's been a cat at the Alamo for many, many years. It's just part of the tradition. We had lost our last cat, and everybody wanted another cat, but we were grieving. And so after some time, one of our sister sites here in Texas offered up a kitten that they found, and that was Goliad Presidio out there. Eventually, she was brought to us, and so there's a real tie to Texas history and the Texas Revolution.
She was brought to us on March 6, 2015, the anniversary of the Battle of the Alamo.
Yes, she was. She was found by the daughter of the director of the Presidio. She named her Bella because she thought she was really pretty.
She is really pretty. And if you hear any jingling in the background, that's her collar. She's moving around a little bit as we record. How old is Bella now?
Bella was about 6 weeks old when she came in 2015. She will be 9.
Bella has been this podcast's single most requested episode topic. I'll be honest, I was a bit worried about alienating some of the history buffs out there. Like, Emily, what are you doing? A whole episode on a cat? But as we've all found, Bella is a true ambassador for the Alamo.
She really is. You know, even the young kids, sometimes this history is a little bit difficult for them to relate to. And you don't always want to tell them the gory details. And so you need a lighter side. You need something to attract their attention and make sure that they enjoy themselves while they're here on site. And Bella definitely does that when she gets the opportunity.
Yes, she does. When we first got Bella, when she came to us, one of the things that we had to do is get her accustomed to the site. So we had a volunteer that would come once a week and walk her.
On a leash.
On a leash. She had a little harness.
Those photos are hilarious.
And there's a photo also of us trying to walk her, and all it is a cat laying on the sidewalk with a harness on her. Soon she learned that this was her home. And so she would wander around. She would greet people. She's a very interesting cat in the sense that she loves being around people. And so she would always be in the crowds. But she also knows that there's a group of staff members that are willing to step in and help her when she gets overwhelmed. There were times that she would get overwhelmed to the point that she would run and hide.
Especially during school season when we have so many young children on the site. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit, they're so happy to see her, but the sheer numbers of them can be overwhelming for Bella.
Yep. She hid at the Emily Morgan Hotel, she hid at the Menger Hotel, and she hid on a double-decker bus. All three companies called us and told us, Bella's over here. We'll watch her till, you know, she's ready to go home. But the two hotels, someone had to open a door for her because they're not automatic doors. So someone let her in. And so people around us know.
When you talk to the groups that run the comfort dog programs, they say there's only so many emotions that these animals can take before they kind of need a break. And it was the same thing with Bella.
Yes.
Absolutely. She needed some cat time and a little less crowd time.
She also knows how to work her audience. We used to have a water fountain in the back of the grounds, and she would jump on it. And she would sit there waiting for someone to come and push the button so she could drink water. So she can ham it up with the best of them.
Right now she's licking her paw.
Yeah, she just finished a treat.
The Alamo, as Sherry mentioned, actually has a tradition of having official Alamo cats. Ruby protected the site from 1981 to 1986, and Cece took over from 1996 until 2014.
Yes.
That's correct.
And the thing is that, you know, they're all different. Ruby was also a calico, but she was a darker colored calico, short hair. And then Cece was a black and white cat that was with us for 19 years. And so when I first started working at the Alamo, she was one of the first ambassadors that I met. She wasn't as friendly as Bella because she came to us feral. And so she had to learn how to be with an audience, but she actually knew that her major role was pest control. And when she passed away, it was a very sad time for us. And then we had Bella. And Bella has taken on the role of having her media presence more out there than Cece ever did.
Well, and times have changed, too. Social media.
Social media makes all the difference. Yeah.
People sometimes ask us about the memorial markers for Ruby and Cece. They had been moved for construction, but they're now back in place.
Yes, they are. We put them back in place because it is now safe for the markers to be out. And so the marker is back out. It's basically, if you stand and look at the marker, you're looking in the direction of their graves because their graves are actually behind the fence. And so they're still there. And we, you know, it's one of those things. It's a reminder of our past. And our past has always had a cat in it at one point or the other. There's an account of during the Battle of the Alamo that a cat runs by and a Mexican soldier kills it because it's a Texian. So there's
always been a ghost of a defender.
So there's always been a cat presence.
We don't know if there's any truth to that.
Yeah, no,
we don't. Right, but that comes to us from way back in the lore of the Alamo battle.
And if you'd like to see Ruby and Cece's memorial markers, where on the grounds are they?
Right by the collection center, right in the back. If you're walking to, they'll be on the north side of the collection center, along that little sidewalk. That's where the marker is. And so they're two bronze plaques, one to Ruby, one to Cece. And it's a reminder that the Alamo is not only protected by its staff, but it also has a feline component that helps as well.
As for this cat, Bella is her name, but she's been given a more regal title of Miss Isabella Francisca Veramendi de Valero. And each one of those names is rooted in Alamo history. Let's go through them.
So Isabella is basically the name for Bella, right? That's what the little girl named her. But then you've got Francisca, which is the name of the lady that's the angel of Goliad. And then you've got Veramendi for the Veramendi family, which were the family that married or Bowie married into. Ursula de Veramendi, Juan Martin de Veramendi. And then you've got de Valero, which is the site name, right? San Antonio Valero or the Marquez de Valero who paid for it. Now, Bella is like any other cat. She will respond to her name when it's convenient. Like right now, she's very attentive.
Because Sherry has lots of treats.
And she's staring at the bag.
You might be able to hear the bag shaking. Now, you two have known Bella since the early days. How would you describe her personality?
She's kind of full of herself, if you want to know the truth.
But in the best way.
But in the best kind of way for a cat. We've pampered her over the years. She was in our offices in the old buildings back in the day when we shared an office with Dr. Bruce Winters, the former curator. That was pretty much her home. Dr. Winters is a huge cat lover, and so are we. So it was great fun when you had a break in your work to go back up to the office and pet Bella for a little while, pet a kitty cat, you know. So it's been nice. I think it does the same for the staff today. When they get a chance to see her, it gives you something, I don't know, relaxing to do, you know, on your break. Just take a few minutes out to pet the cat. She's always appreciative of that. Yeah, I think, you know, she makes a nice little distraction around the office.
So when she first came, first thing that happened was she was under my desk because she was a little scared kitten and a little stinky scared kitten. And so we took her to the vet, took care of all of the problems that she had. She would jump on me and then fall asleep in my arms, so all work would stop. And so when I moved into another office, we were down in what was known as the committee room. My office was the old kitchen for the committee room, and I had a desk that had about 8 drawers in it, and one of them was always empty. And it was the one she would crawl into and go to sleep. So before I left, I would stick my hand in the drawer, and if a little paw came out and smacked me, I knew that she was in there, and I'd take her out, and I'd take her into the foyer. She would also climb onto the refrigerator that was still in that office and sleep on my living history hats on top. And so you'd see this little fur ball staring at you. When she was young, one of the things that she was also used to was the jingle of my keys. My work keys would jingle, and she knew that it was time to come in, and she would run in towards the office.
That's so funny, because that's how I know she's coming, the jingle of her collar down the hall. I would say her personality is a little mischievous, too.
Definitely. I think she's got that cat thing that, you know, wants to perhaps sneak up on people and surprise them sometimes.
Now, Bella's early life was a little different. Tell us about her time patrolling the grounds.
She spent a lot of time, you know, we would come into work, and in the morning we would let her out. And she would run out of the office, and she'd go to a lot of other offices in the back of the complex back then. And what she would do was she would go back there, and she would get her snacks from every other staff member. And then she would wander the grounds most of the day, running around, playing in the grass, sitting in the gift shop. Many a time she got stepped on in the gift shop because she would lay right on the floor of the gift shop. That was her early life, and she'd come in at night. And the rangers were really fun to watch because some of the evening shift rangers would come into the office when it was time for their shift, and they would tell me, Ernesto, I came in here last night to patrol, and I picked up Bella in the foyer, and I unlocked her office, and I took her in so she could see you weren't here, and I took her into Sherry's office so she could see that Sherry wasn't here. And then sometimes we'd bring her to our office so she's not alone. And so I would tell them, so you're playing with the cat? And they're like, yes. Because that's what she does. She makes people happy. She brings that peace. And she's really good at it, even though she's trying to get out of the office or the room that we're in now by standing at the door.
We got boring to her. We're not giving her enough attention because we're doing the podcast. As she's gotten older and the Alamo plan moves forward, there is a lot of construction on site. So the decision was made, it's just safer for her to be in the office with us here in our administrative offices. And let me tell you, she has taken to being an office cat real well.
That's happened a couple times now. At some point, we realized that it was just too dangerous for the cat to be out at night and or out during the day. There was a lot of construction going on in the area, just like there is now. And the decision was made many years ago to bring her inside and make her an inside cat. Middle of downtown is sometimes not the best place for a cat anymore. Maybe 20 years ago, but it's changed a lot. And so it's just safer for her to be inside. And of course, it gives all of the employees more of a chance to visit with her, too.
Well, I'm typically the first person in the office every day. So she greets me. She knows where my office is. She comes in the door because she knows every morning. I start the morning with putting cat treats on a little cat
there
perch I have for her in my office. She won't sit on the perch, but she knows where the treats are. And she sits with me for a few minutes. And then when the second person comes in, she goes and talks to them, and the third person, and the fourth person, and so on. And she loves scampering down the long hallways in this office. But that's what I've noticed about Bella. She likes greeting people to start
Definitely.
Their day.
Definitely.
This is also the longest that she's been not in my office.
And you miss her.
Oh, yeah. I miss
her
a lot.
You come visit her.
Yeah, I miss her a lot because we've been together for 9 years now. And so I do miss her because I've been there for the fun times, the hard times. There's nothing like trying to give medications when your cat's sick. And that's not fun. And so I've been lucky that it's either been Sherry and myself or Colby and myself giving her medications. And it is not fun. And so it's a great thing that she's indoors most of the time now because we don't have to worry about her getting overheated and stuff like that.
Just the opposite. She loves sitting on laptops because she loves the heat from them. And as someone who uses the laptop as a third screen in addition to my two monitors, I have to move her all the time. And then she goes right back to it. So we play literally a cat and mouse game.
That sounds like Bella.
And it's not only harder for Ernesto to walk over and see her, it's harder for visitors to see her in person. That's why we have separate social media pages for Bella. And she gets attention from all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does. She's very popular online.
Speaking of online, we asked Bella's followers on Instagram to send us their questions, and our colleagues answered their favorites. And of course, Ernesto and Sherry will chime in as well. What is her favorite nap spot?
I'll say anywhere.
I say Ernesto's lap is number one.
And anywhere that she can, any box.
Keyboards.
Trash can.
Yeah, we used to have a trash can in the old office that was pretty much hers.
I went to bring her into... To be with us here in the podcast, I took her out of an old inbox. She was in the little wire cage asleep. She wasn't too happy.
If I fits, I sits.
Yeah, that's it. But anywhere she'll be in meetings, and wherever the person is holding the meeting, that's where she's going to sleep.
Next question, does she have a favorite color? Our staff decided Alamo red and Barbie pink, which I'll tell you all about in a minute. What do you think?
I would agree with those. I think that she looks good against a red background for sure.
What is her favorite job function? Our staff voted lunch break supervisor. She loves sitting in our break room and just watching as people eat lunch.
Yes. If there's food, she's there.
Anytime she can have an audience and food, that's the perfect location.
What is her most important job function? Our staff said emotional support.
I would agree 100%. Yep. Yes,
she is.
She's always been for me.
Sometimes I find that if I'm working too hard, she senses it. And she comes in and she stops me. And sometimes it's kind of annoying, but I think it's probably for the best. What do you think, Ernesto?
Yes, she does that a lot. She really does. She understands that her role is to not only be here for the Alamo, but be here for the staff. And she provides that comfort. And she will. She'll walk up to you and when you're stressed out, and she'll walk up and she'll do something to make you think about the cat instead of what you're worrying about. Now, Dr. Winders, when he was here, you know, Cece would do that for him a lot. Now, one of the fun parts about Bella is that she may not look athletic, but she actually really is. In one of the offices we used to have, the wall was covered in carpeting. And you could actually start playing with her and her toy that she really loved. It was a stick with a feather. And you get her going, and you could actually make her run along the wall.
And she still loves that toy.
She loves running around. She would love running on the wall. And so she still plays like a kid, and even though she's really, you know, middle-aged, she's still looking at the door.
Don't hurt her feelings.
No. She's still looking at the door trying to get out because she knows that somewhere someone's having a snack.
But if I make some noise with these treats, she might come back.
Actual question from Instagram. Why so fluffy?
Just her breed, and we're not quite sure what the mix is.
I've heard calico and Himalayan. Is there any truth to that?
That seems fairly possible to me, because that long hair plus the coloring, I think, matches those two breeds pretty well.
This question comes from my sister. How does Bella feel being an international celebrity?
She loves it.
She knows it, right?
She really does know it, and she's waiting for her manager to get his part of the proceeds. That hasn't happened.
All checks payable to Ernesto Rodriguez.
One of the things about Bella that's really funny is that when she was running around outside, her colors are black, orange, and a little bit of white. During the fall, the leaves are orange on a black dirt background, and sometimes she would just camouflage herself and try to hunt. I know she's listening. She's not a good hunter.
I think she knows when she's an international celebrity, when we do photo shoots with her in the office for social media.
And she
preens. Yeah. She poses.
Yeah, she's been like that since she was a tiny little cat. Now, it's hard to believe it now by looking at Bella, but Bella was once about maybe 8 inches long, and now she's not. You know, and she wasn't, her fur hadn't come in the way it did, so she was still a little small, tiny cat. And I have a video on my phone that I took of her playing with a ball, and it's two different cats altogether because she really grew into this celebrity.
Sometimes when she's lying down on my keyboard, it looks like a Davy Crockett coonskin cap. It's the same colors.
Yes, it is.
That's good.
Except it's bigger.
Fair. That's fair. The Alamo staff supports Bella and her care, but she's lucky enough to have so many fans who pitch in. The easiest way is through buying her Fiesta medal. If you're not from San Antonio, let's briefly talk about Fiesta. It can be traced back to 1891 as a celebration to honor the heroes of the Alamo in the Texas Revolution. Today, it's a 10-day citywide party to benefit charities, and it includes parades that pass by the Alamo. Medals that you can pin onto clothes or a sash, they are exchanged to raise money for various groups. Bella has her own medal for sale. I want to know where that money goes toward, and I told you that we'd come back to Barbie pink being her favorite color. This year's Bella Fiesta medal is Barbie-themed.
The money goes back to taking care of her, both her medical bills and her food and her litter and anything else that she wants. You know, since she is on a lot of laptops, you never know what she orders. But that's where it all goes back to her. So all the funds that are raised by the Fiesta medals or donations to Bella specifically go straight to her and to her care and to keeping her happy.
And we're very appreciative of people's willingness to purchase a medal and pitch in to help take care of her.
And Sherry, you've seen over the years that people just send Bella care packages.
Care packages and checks. They are taken, you know, a lot of cat lovers out there, you know, can identify with having a pet that you love so dearly. And yeah, there's some regulars that have sent support for her just because, you know, out of the kindness of their heart. And they appreciate seeing the photos of her and the medals and everything that circles around.
One of the things, too, that's happening right now is that we're in the middle of commemoration. And when we do commemoration each year, we offer some items to help raise funds for the Alamo in our programs. And one of those items is an auction item to spend time with Bella.
And I do have to say, it will have already sold by the time this episode airs.
Yes.
But it is a cool opportunity.
Yes, it is. It really is. And it's amazing how much love people have for Bella. And right now, it's one of the higher ranking things on auction. And so, because she's important to us. She's important to the staff. She's important to the people that are following her on Instagram, on Twitter. And she knows it as she's staring at the door again.
She wants to know who's on the other side. A former colleague of mine recently told me, it really says a lot about your workplace culture that you have a cat. What do you think it says about the Alamo culture that we have Bella here?
I think it says that we're a family. I think more than anything else, it is appropriate to have a cat here, not only because of its history, but because this group of employees are truly a family. And so that means that we care about each other and we care about Bella.
She's not just the Alamo's pet. She's one of our coworkers. And, you know, she comes in like the rest of us. She walks out of her little office, sleepy area, comes out, hangs out with all the staff, works with them, keeps them motivated. And then at the end of the night, she goes to sleep. When we go home, she goes to bed. Then she wakes up and starts the day over again. So she is. She's a colleague. She's just a little furry one that weighs about 10 pounds.
You know, we're charged with a big responsibility as Alamo staff, taking care of the buildings, the church and lawn barrack, as you note, are artifacts 1 and 2. And then, of course, the smaller artifacts in the collection. And Bella is just as precious to us.
Yes, she is. She's that living creature that keeps us sane because we work in an environment that we're always on. We're always busy. We're always trying to do research. We're always trying to get the Alamo to where it needs to be. And Bella is that one thing that lets us stop and reflect on what we're doing by just being there and coming and offering her services as the official mascot to be petted, to be fed, to be played with. And so she is. She helps us to take that break out of a hectic day. And she's been doing that really greatly since the day she arrived. And so it's been a pleasure for me, and I know for Sherry, to be the ones that have cared for her for so many years and that continue to care for her along with other staff members. Because most people, when they come here to work, they've all heard basically that we have a cat and everyone wants to meet her.
Ernesto Rodriguez and Sherry Driscoll, thank you so much for joining us. This has been fun for me to record. I hope it's been fun for you guys.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, it has.
And for Bella over there waiting more treats. If you'd like to keep up with Bella's adventures, follow her on social media. On Instagram, her handle is @BellaTheAlamoCat. And on X, she is BellaAlamoCat. And in the podcast notes for today's episode, we've linked to where you can buy Bella's official Fiesta medal to support her care and also to all of her merchandise in the Alamo gift shop. You've been listening to Stories Bigger Than Texas, the Alamo podcast.